We have been for several months now talking about our Christian walk, and I use the analogy of one driving down a highway and eventually getting to a rest stop. And I call that rest stop the Jesus rest stop. And we've looked at God's holiness, we've looked at His faithfulness, we've looked at His love. We've come to realize that there are many in the body that want to help us so that we can function at optimum speed, power, whatever you need. And today we're going to start talking about vision. And it's really important that we understand that when we talk about vision, we're not talking about something that is really super spiritual and is woo type of stuff. It's really basic. Vision, in a nutshell, is the ability to see. That's really what it is. It's the ability to see. Before I came to Jesus Christ, I could not see. I was blind. There was realities going around me that I did not see. I am no longer blind because of Jesus Christ. I now can see very clearly because I no longer am in the driver's seat. Turn to Proverbs 29:18. Very basic. We should know this scripture. I'm speaking out of the ESV today. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no prophetic vision, people cast off restraint. Other translations say if there's no vision, the people perish. And it's really true. If you want me to put it in modern vernacular, if you don't have spiritual eyes, you can't see what God's doing, and you're on the path to destruction. But blessed is he who keeps the law of God, or who is a law abider. Why? Why is that so important? Why is vision so important? I think because vision is so important, and it's either we go to one extreme or to another extreme, we don't keep it in a basic function of the church. We try to super spiritualize it in such a way. And we should. Don't get me wrong. We need vision. We need to see what the Lord is doing. We need to understand how He's doing it. And then we must begin to walk in His vision. He's driving. As we pull into the Jesus rest stop, there is a mechanic on board. And as you're going in and getting your provisions and getting the stuff to help you get ready for the next leg of your journey, the mechanic comes and finds you and says, "Your windshield is cracked. Are you aware of it?" You may not believe that your windshield is cracked. You may say, "I'm seeing the road fine. I'm seeing all this stuff. I know where I'm going." Yeah, you're going to hell in a handbasket. That's where you're going. And everybody you're driving with is going there too. You see, the reality of it is that we have a damaged windshield. We have damaged limited vision as to see the realities that we need to see. Western civilization does not understand these concepts. They had this mindset that spiritual realities are just for the movies, or for Halloween worshipers, or for folklore. We are spiritual, supernatural beings in a body filled with sin. And yet God has put His Spirit in us. He has empowered us. He has chosen us to carry out His will of His good news that the kingdom is at hand. He has chosen. Now, there are some people who don't believe in the prophetic. They believe it's all hogwash. They believe that, you know, you can believe that stuff. That's, you know, it's not for me. That's fine. It doesn't negate the fact that God is real. It doesn't negate the fact that God uses the prophets and prophetic people to bring about His will. It doesn't stop it. The one that's losing is you, because you're still in the driver's seat. You still want to lay claim to what you think is the will of God, whether you believe God or not. And what we try to do is, for those of us who have a marginal relationship with God, we tend to want to bring His will and make it yield to our will. We want what we want, no matter what God wants. God, You saved me, that's good. I can go to heaven, that's all I need. I'm good, You and me, we're good. It's everybody else that's messed up. And we fail to see that we're the ones that need adjustment. We're the ones that need to have this mechanic replace this glass. We're the ones that, in order for this glass to be replaced, we need to get out of the driver's seat. There is a teaching that's going around that is a regurgitation of what was done centuries ago. And it really is a teaching that negates the power of God and His vision that He wants to infuse into His people to carry out before He returns. They say that the Scriptures have been canonized, or all the Scriptures have been put together in this book. We don't need any further revelation from God. We have everything right here. That's a lie. It's a lie. Because without prophetic vision, you will cast off restraint and do your own thing. And I can't tell you how many people are walking down that driveway or in the driver's seat, and they don't know what the will of God is. They think they do. And many years ago, I did a thing where we had pieces of a puzzle, remember? And I took everybody that came through the church that day, I gave you a piece of the puzzle. And we had the outline of the puzzle. And as we were going through, I asked you guys to start coming up and putting your pieces together. And some of the pieces did connect. It was great. We could start seeing the image of what that picture looked like. And where there was holes and pieces weren't in there, I said, they are those people that are out there that God wants to bring here so that we can see what they have to get a better picture of what God wants to do. You see, I don't see everything, although my mantle is one that God does include me into seeing things. I know things that are going on in your lives that you don't even realize that I know. Why? Because God sees what you're doing. He sees everything. And that's not to scare you. That's to give you a reality of how great His love is for you, that you can't keep something away from Him. It's not about what you want. It's not about how you feel. It's not even about where you think you're going. Because you're not going to get to where you want to go doing the things that you're doing and thinking that you're going to have the result that you want. That's sin. And we know the wages of sin is death. So eventually, it's going to die. Because of the abuses that were going on in the church, back in the charismatic movement of the 70s and 80s, the church has morphed into something that has never been God's intention. His intention has been a powerful church that was mature and flowing in all the gifts of the Spirit. And what we did during those times, I call it the charismatic or crazymatic times, was we used these gifts on each other to promote ourselves. Our vision was askewed. Because, you see, even though we were supposed to use the gifts, we were never to promote ourselves. It was to promote Jesus Christ. And so what we have done is we have perversed the Word of God because we stayed in our immaturity and it's no longer allowed to be moved. Or we're at the other extreme that it's allowed to be used but it's not used properly because we want to promote ourselves in this. And you guys know me well enough that when God speaks to me, and I know well in advance, we had a discussion yesterday early in the morning about some of the things that God had shown me 2 years ago. And all those things are coming to pass. The reason why that is, I'm that mechanic that's telling you that your windshield is cracked. And you need to get out of the driver's seat. The only way that you're going to see clear, the only way that I could see clear, was I had to get into the passenger side. I needed to get out of the way. I needed my will to conform to His will. I needed to pursue Him and His cause and His will as to what He wants done. And when I'm seeking Him and His will and moving my life in such a direction, the funny thing is, He meets all my needs all the time. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Well, you know what? I don't like what's going on. I don't like my husband or my wife. You know, they're doing things, you know. They're hypocritical. My kids are all a mess. They're this or that. You're in the driver's seat. You don't want to do what the Word of God says. Well, I tried that before. Didn't work. You don't try Jesus on. You wear Him. He either is your all in all, or He's not anything at all. And you've deceived yourself. And that's pretty bad. Because we think we see clearly. This move of God is the Holy Spirit is trying to get us out of the driver's seat. Some of us think that it's fake. I can tell you, vision is not fake. We all have plans. We all have hopes. We all have aspirations. But unless it conforms to His will, all we're doing is shooting ourselves in the foot. Nolan, is your gun empty yet? I mean that in love. Because we're all learning this. Some of us only shoot one toe off. Some of us have to have our foot amputated. But it's okay. Vision that I'm talking about is not a hallucinogenic in nature. It's not induced by drugs. It is not induced by stimulants. This is not of God. It is of the devil. Vision, the type of vision I'm talking about, is pursuing God with a whole heart, no matter what He asks of me. And that's okay. We can wrestle with this. I'm wrestling with a couple issues right now. It's testing to see if you're a fake or real. If your faith is about God or is it what you can get from God? You see, what I have learned in 30 years of walking with the Lord is it's not what I can get from Him, it's what I can give. He has my whole life. I am no longer in the driver's seat. And I see clearly. Modern prophets, older prophets, they're a reality. The older prophets sought God, they chased after God, and He gave them divine revelation of Him and His purpose for sending Christ. They knew. They knew what He wanted to do. And when they visited cities and people and stuff, they wanted to know if they were there because of peace or was there something happening. It was a reality to them. We come to church and a prophet speaks and we like, what's that mean? That don't mean anything to me. You know, we act like we're doing God a big favor when He's done us a favor. And the least we can do is start being obedient to Him. We are disobedient children at the very best. Modern prophets are seeking the Lord in regards to kingdom expansion, influence, maturing the saints, accomplishing the Great Commission. And this is all because of the first covenant that God established in the Garden of Eden. Just check out Genesis 1:28. All the other covenants were given as restorations, which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and now are held in Jesus Christ, and that if we find ourselves in Jesus Christ, we have everything that He has promised us from the Edenic covenant, of which this is what He's trying to restore. Us back to the original estate. He is going to destroy this world. We are not coming back to this world. I laugh at these guys that are apocalyptic guys that are storing up food and weapons and all this other stuff. Preppers, yeah. I laugh at these nitwits. My God's going to protect me. I don't need to save this stuff. I just need to be right with Him. Why would I want to come back to a world that's going to be destroyed? He's going to remake it. He tells me He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And that word new is there has never been like this before. It's new. For us, what's new is buying that new used car. That's new to us. That's how we live. That's our vision. Genesis 1:28 exhorts us to be fruitful, to multiply, subdue, take authority, have dominion. If you don't understand what that means, you will never fulfill and step into your call to being kings and priests at the end time. This is why we're exhorted that we're going to judge the nations. We're going to judge angels. So we get caught up in this little stupid thing. Don't judge me. I have every right to judge you. Because the Word of God says I have that right. You don't like to be judged because the devil has put something in your mind. I would rather you judge me. And that word judge means to discern what I'm all about than to place blame on someone. My intent is what my Father desires, and that is for the best of everyone, even at the expense of my own life. Isn't that what He did? Isn't that the example that He showed for us? We need to jettison our mindset, first of all, of what I can get from God. You got everything. You need to line up and get over here. It's not what you can get, it's how you can serve. How can you be a blessing to somebody else? That's what I've learned. And because I've learned to be a blessing, God has blessed me. And I just continue to pour these blessings out as much as I possibly can. Where there is no divine vision, the people cast off restraint. And this leads into spiritual and political anarchy. And we see this being manifested today in all the nations. All the nations. Only those who are law-abiding citizens aren't going to get caught up in this nonsense that's going on. We have to admit, where we live, we used to live in a God-fearing nation. Now we have an Antichrist government. We're living in an Antichrist world that is angry and wants to expunge us because we are the remnant of virtue and sanity that God has left here for us. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because they reject knowledge, I reject them from being a priest to me." That is an office that we don't fully understand, that we're willing to throw away, that He paid such a price to give to us. And because we don't have knowledge, because we're not seeking after the Holy One, because we want what we want. Remember last week I said what is at stake is the innocence of our children and our grandchildren. What does He say? He says, "And since you have forsaken me and the law, I will forsake your children." Breaks my heart. It breaks my heart, breaks my father's heart to see us turn our back on him, that he only means for good for us. And because of that, the reason why we're still in the driver's seat, the reason why we still think we're in control, is we have an attitude problem. What is attitude? Attitude is very key into vision. It is a basic ingredient to the vision that you have, that God has given to you, and your attitude towards that vision that God wants to fulfill through you to fulfill His purposes. And if we're still trying to drive our car, and we're still trying to make God yield His will to make our will, well, I need not tell you what the end is. Attitude is the disposition that we have towards someone or something. It can either be positive or it can be negative. How is attitude developed? There are many factors. One is our personality. God wired us a certain way, made our personalities a certain way, but because of sin, that has been corrupted. We're trying to be like everybody else. Let's be like Mike Jordan. Let's be like him. Let's look like this one. Let's have the ideal marriage. Because, you know, as they look at us, they write good things about us. Let us go and party and do our own thing. You can. How's it working for you? Attitude. As long as my attitude is fixed on me and my personality and my wants, I'm in the driver's seat. I'm not seeking His kingdom. I'm not living as a living sacrifice. I'm not consecrated to Him. I am not dedicated to Him. I am not renewing my mind so I may know His mind, His thoughts, His will clearly. Kingdom principles 1, 2, and 3. That's all it's about. Romans 12:1 and 2 is now added.
I don't need that stinking discipleship. No, I don't need that. Who do you think you are telling me I need this?
Which side of the seat you on? Right, it comes down to that.
I don't need you to speak into my life. I have my own life and I can do what I want. You cannot tell me what I can do.
You're right, you got your own life. How's it working? Are you scheming and planning every waking minute? That's useless energy. I'd rather just sit before his feet and have him tell me what he wants done. How he wants it done. When he wants it done. Doesn't make me a robot. Doesn't make me lazy. It just makes me an obedient son. My desire is to be a son in his house. And yes, some of us have done things and we've played the game. We have played the game. And we thought we had deceived everybody. And the fact of it is, we deceived ourselves first.
Nobody likes me. Oh, poor little Holly, nobody like you. They're all against me.
They want the best for you. They want to bring truth, which is the light of the gospel, to you. But you run from it. Attitude develops from our environment. How we were brought up. Were we an only child? That affects us. The things that we were taught affects us. Opinions of people affect us. Do we have siblings? How were they treated in correspondence to us? How did I want to be treated? Didn't receive it. Goes into your feelings. Do you have feelings of rejection? Do you have feelings of abandonment? Do you have feelings of support and security? This all works into your attitudes. Are you trying to manipulate and control the situation? Or are you totally surrendered? How you perceive yourself. Self-image is key. Are you trying to be something that you were never designed to be and it's frustrating you to no end? Are you trying to be just like everybody else? Are you trying to manipulate people's opinions of you? Are you trying to feel good about yourself? Well, find out what God says about you.
I'm so depressed.
Depression comes, it's a spirit, comes when you start thinking about yourself. I am not mitigating or making fun of those who suffer from this spiritual attack. I am saying you energize this spirit when you start thinking about who you are, your situation, your plight. You know, nothing seems to be working. I was taught, when you think you have something bad, go outside the door and you'll find somebody that has something worse off than you. You won't be depressed very long. My parents were very wise. Our life experiences, what we have gone through, what we have, the choices that we have made, who we associate, all influences our attitude. And because of that, that molds our belief system. Do we believe the Word of God, or do we believe that I'm right? Well, I found out that I wasn't right. I had to get right with God. And finally, it's the choices that you make. Some of us are coming into a place, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, that we're entering into a rumbling, a shaking in our lives That God is really shaking that stuff that, and He wants this junk to fall out of our lives because what remains is His. He doesn't want junk. And so what's happening is the choices that we've made through all the years have come to roost, and we don't like the choices that we made. But we take it out on everybody else like they're the ones that made the choice for me. Having vision means you take responsibility for your choices and your actions. And you don't wallow in it. You ask Him to clean it up and let Him move you into the place that you need to be. Attitude cannot change facts. Let me say that again. It cannot change the facts. It cannot change your choices that you made. It cannot change your self-worth. Attitude cannot prevent forest fires. God wants to burn up the woods that you have run into and tried to hide in. Attitude cannot give you confidence. Attitude cannot give you ability. Attitude cannot even give you experience. But if you cultivate a proper attitude, you then slide over and you begin to start seeing life correctly. Remember I said attitude can be positive or negative. We face life daily with fraught with challenges. And all these things come into play. And some of us act like we are entitled not to have challenges. The problem with that is that's God's design to grow us up. And the more your life is going south, the more challenges you seem to be facing. And the more challenges you face, the more decisions that you make that are not God-centered, the worse it becomes. Negative thoughts create negative beliefs. Negative beliefs go into wrong decisions. Continued wrong decisions bring wrong actions. Wrong actions develop into bad habits, which develop into little vision or loss of vision. What I want will never come to pass. Never. Positive thoughts give positive beliefs, positive decisions leads to positive actions. Continued positive actions lead to positive habits, which bring eventually to vision fulfilled. I have to believe God's going to bring it to pass. 20-some years ago, God showed me my life. And I saw this. Actually, longer than that. Probably closer to 30 years that God showed me. And as I learned to yield myself to Him and to His plan and His purposes, as He healed my marriage, as He developed my relationship with my wife, as He continue to infuse into my children all the good things that He has. He's fulfilling the vision. Because I'm pursuing Him. I want to know what He wants, how He wants, when He wants. It's not enough to just believe God. We need to change our attitude towards Him. We're not doing Him a favor by coming to church and sitting in church and, oh, that's Pastor, he's just ranting. I may be ranting, but I'm ranting to wake you up. God has called you. Do you know what He has called you to? God wants to do awesome things in your life. but you're having your little timeout pity party, wondering how you can mask the pain and hurt that's deep within. God wants to take that poison out of you, that you're so easy poisoning somebody else. Here's a fact. Hurting people hurt other people and are easily hurt by people. God will not hurt you. He wants to heal you. He wants to take that which is hurting you to bring you health. He wants to heal your relationships. He wants to heal where you are today. He wants to deliver you from the self-deception that everything's okay. I can pretend. Nobody's going to know. The fact of the matter is, God knows. He knows that you're contemplating relationships that you should not be contemplating. He knows that you're involved in a mass hysteria gambit that is sabotaging your relationships because you want to do your own thing. He knows that He wants to bring harmony into all our relationships, but we don't want to submit to Him, so we're not going to submit to anybody else. The only one you're hurting is yourself first and those closest to you. We have to change our attitude. Because faithful is He who calls you, who will also do it. Faithful is He who has given it to us, will keep it for us until it's completed. And when we look back and we see all that He has done, as we surrender ourselves to His will, everything that we've strived for, He will bring to completion. But it starts with our attitude. A bad attitude, remember, is loss of vision or no vision. A positive attitude, which starts with God, is vision fulfilled. Are you still in the driver's seat? Then you're driving down a road with a cracked windshield and your perception of reality is wrong. I encourage you to get right with God and begin to start looking at things from His perspective with a proper attitude. And He will slowly change your life into something wonderful and beautiful that He has designed from the beginning. Amen? Father, I just thank You for Your vision. I thank You, God, that next week we're going to talk about enemies of vision. God, Your word is so true. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people just do their own thing. Father, I pray that we are not that. I pray that we yield ourselves to You, God. I pray that we see clearly that we are fast approaching a cliff, driving with Thelma and Louise, God, and we're going to go over. Lord God, save us from our stupidity and self-righteousness and self-centeredness. God, help us to submit and yield ourselves to You, that You can bring the healing that we need to fulfill the vision that You have called, and that You receive all the glory and praise for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.